The reading's taken from John 5, verses 16 to 30, and that can be found on page 1068 of the Church Bibles. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work, to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Helen. Do keep that passage open. We're going to be looking at it together now. Let's pray. As we start, Father, we thank you that through the Bible we can hear the words of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we spend this time looking at this passage today, please would it not feel like text or book work, but please would we see your Son, Jesus Christ, through the words of Scripture. Please would you be changing us. Please would you be helping us to listen to what he has to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's night. A man enters an office block. He sneaks by a sleeping security guard, and he makes his way to the lift. He pushes the button. The lift flies down the 15 stories to the ground floor and stops at the ground with a ping. Who do you think you are, and what do you think you're doing? He turns around to see that sleeping security guard, now awake, and he's been caught in the act. What happens next? Well, I've got three scenarios. First scenario is he looks right and left, and then he makes a dash for it. He gets past the security guard and escapes. Scenario two. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? I'm the son of the CEO. I'm here to do some work for my father. I've never seen you before. I don't believe you. Get out of here. And if you come back, then there'll be trouble. Scenario 3. I'm the son of the CEO. I've come here to do work for my father. Oh, of course. I'm so sorry. We were expecting you. Is there any ways that we can help? Tea? Coffee? This is a little bit of a taster and should hopefully help us as we think about our passage today. At the start of our passage, Jesus has been caught in the act. He's not been caught sneaking by a security guard, but he's been caught doing something which actually could have far greater consequences for him. He's been caught healing a paralyzed man on the Sabbath, the Jewish day of rest. Now, we might be thinking, the Sabbath, that doesn't sound a big deal, does it? Well, in Jesus' day, this was outrageous. You can imagine the Jewish leaders at the time. They all knew that what Jesus had done was outrageous, was against their rules. You can't do that. You're breaking all our rules. Who do you think you are? And what do you think you're doing? Well, in our passage today, Jesus doesn't go for scenario 1. He doesn't scarper. But he answers them. He tells them who he is and what he is doing. We shall see how the Jewish leaders respond, whether they go for scenario 2 or 3. And we need to think how we will respond. So let's firstly see who Jesus thinks he is. So verse 17, if you look down with it, at it with me. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Well, that's nice, isn't it? Jesus is a hard worker. He works like his dad. That doesn't sound especially significant. But let's see how the Jewish leaders respond. Verse 18. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. What has Jesus said? We must have missed something significant in what he said. Why would they want to try to kill him for it? Well, John the author makes it really clear in verse 18. Not only was Jesus breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And this brings us to our first point, who Jesus thinks he is. Jesus is the Son equal with God. Jesus is the Son equal with God. Imagine for a second being one of those Jewish leaders, and we hear Jesus claiming this. No, I know God. The scriptures say that he determines the number of stars in the sky. He is great, abundant in power. He stretches out the heavens. But you, Jesus, I think I'm taller than you. I could probably beat you in an arm wrestle. I can't believe that you are God. How can you claim to be equal with God? And it is an enormous thing Jesus is claiming here, isn't it? We cannot downplay that. We think of God who created the universe. We think of God who sent hail and locusts and the Passover for those Egyptian, for his people to escape Egypt. We think of God who defeats armies of thousands at his will. We think of God who raises up kings under his power. And Jesus claims he is God. God in human form. Is this the Jesus we think of? Friends, we cannot ignore who Jesus claims to be. We cannot put this Jesus to one side and make no decision about him. We must decide, because what he claims here changes everything. So what are our options as we think about who Jesus is? Well, as C.S. Lewis helpfully points out, we have three options. Either Jesus is crazy, a liar, or God. Jesus' claims demand an extreme response. Either reject him as a madman or a horrible manipulator, or we worship him as God. What's it going to be? An aside, from time to time you'll hear people who say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Jesus didn't think he was God. And this is important for us to consider, because if Jesus never claimed to be God, then we are not forced into this decision. We can think of him as a good teacher or a prophet. When I was at university, I remember speaking to a guy who was a churchgoer, and he said something like this. He said, Tim, I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus and what he says in the Bible, but I don't believe Jesus is God. Jesus never says in the Bible, I am God. That had me quite stumped. I'd always been told Jesus is God. I was thinking, I believe that Jesus is God. But does Jesus actually think he is God? Where does he say, I am God in the Bible? Well, if I had spent much time in John's Gospel, I would have known how to respond to my friend. Jesus may not say the exact three words, I am God, but this is because he's speaking to a Jewish audience. They would be very reluctant to even mention the word God, too holy to utter. So it's no wonder that Jesus never says, I am God. But what he does say is really clear. And the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was claiming. As well as our passage today, there are other examples in John's Gospel. Jesus says he is from heaven. He says he is one with the Father. He says you don't need to see the Father because you see me. He says before Abraham was born, I am. And we see again and again the Jewish leaders respond with outrage because they knew he was claiming to be God. Perhaps you still have more questions along these lines. So if you do, do grab me after the service. I'll very happily show you the passages that I'm referring to and talk to you more about it. Anyway, back on track. Jesus is the Son, equal with God. Okay, so that's a huge claim. But Jesus, what do you think you're doing? And Jesus answers this question in the rest of the passage. Jesus starts and ends the next section with a very similar phrase. Verse 19, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Verse 30, by myself I can do nothing. This seems strange, right? Jesus has just claimed to be God. And now he's seeming to say, I can do nothing. I can't actually do anything without holding someone's hand. That doesn't sound very godlike, right? Well, he goes on to explain further in verse 19. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Do you see why Jesus can do nothing by himself? It's because he does only what the Father does. Which is our second big point up on the screen. Jesus is the Son. He does what his father does. Jesus the Son, he does what his father does. The Son has not gone rogue. He is not the son of a ruler, a grand king, and turned against his king, his father. He has not tried to overthrow and dethrone his dad. No, the father and son are on the same page. For example, this healing on the Sabbath, it is what the father wanted. The Jewish leaders, they think they know what's best. They think that God would not want this to happen. But Jesus says, the Son does all that the Father does. The Son's to-do list is the Father's to-do list. At the moment, we're kind of talking about Jesus' works in very general terms. But what are the specific works that the Son does? Well, Jesus explains these works in three sections. And each section in our passage starts with the phrase, I tell you the truth. So the first section, verse 19 to 23. Jesus is a son. He does what the Father does. He has authority to give life and judge. He has authority to give life and judge. Verse 21 to 22 says this. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So what's on the Father-Son to-do list? Giving life and judging. Huge. Life is a God thing to give. It is he who decides who has life and who does not. We know this, don't we? Humanity has some control over health and well-being. We can make sure we are healthy and family members are healthy to perhaps live a bit longer. But we do not ultimately control life and death. This is out of our hands, but it's in God's hands. And God the Father has given this authority to God the Son, and God the Son decides on life and death. Is this the Jesus we think of? So what should this level of authority the authority that Jesus has, what should this lead to in our lives? Well, verse 23, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The authority given the Son should lead to all honoring him. We should honor the Son as we would honor the Father. This is a remarkable thing to say to Jewish leaders at the time. And today, it's a remarkable thing to say to anyone who would call themselves religious. Jesus declares no one can honor and please God without honoring me. It's impossible. There is not an option to skip past Jesus to get to the Father. To please him, we must honor Jesus. And it makes perfect sense. I want you to imagine for a second, 20 years' time, the 630 congregation has become a thriving business, and I'm CEO, okay? Immediately, you should have concerns about this. We'll have to park your concerns to one side for a second. 630, thriving business, I'm CEO, and I travel abroad. I go to Europe to try and set up other offices abroad. And I leave my son in charge of the congregation, of the business. And I say, all my authority I give to my son. You need to treat my son how you would treat me. You should listen to my son how you would listen to me. Now imagine a year goes by and I come back and I find out you have been terrible to my son, okay? You've ignored him. You've not listened to him. In fact, I don't know. You've been horrible to him, okay? And I come back, and how am I going to respond? Well, I'm furious. I'm furious. You might say, calm down, Tim, calm down. We respect you, we honor you. We just haven't honored your son. I respond, well, actually, I left my son in place of me. By not honoring my son, you have refused to honor me. By ignoring him, you are ignoring me. The authority given by the Father to the Son demands that the Son is honored. Not just honored a bit, but he needs to have as much honor as the Father. Friends, do we have a big enough view of Jesus? Do we see him as God the Son who has life and judgment in his hands? Many of us here believe and trust in Jesus. We are committed Christians. We come to church week by week. But are we honoring Jesus day to day? I know in my life I can be tempted to do a lot of the right things. Be at church on time, tell people that I'm a Christian, serve others. But I know that I often fail to have Jesus at the center of my heart and my life. Being a Christian on the outside, where Jesus has a minor role in day to day. But if I know the Jesus that he claims to be, if I remember him as the Son who has authority to give life and judge, then there is no doubt that he will be placed in a leading role in my life. Everything that I do today would revolve around him. Everything I do on Monday morning and for the rest of the week would be for the honor and pleasure of Jesus Christ. Now, I expect that I'm not the only one who struggles to live with Jesus at the center, who gives Jesus a minor role. Friends, let me encourage you to be thinking on Jesus Christ. This week, ask the Lord to be showing you more of this Jesus Christ. As we open the pages of Scripture, be searching for the Jesus Christ with power and glory, who deserves all the honor. Let's ask the Lord for strength to honor Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our second, I tell you the truth, comes in verse 24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed from death to life. So Jesus is the Son. He does what the Father does. Hear him and believe to cross from death to life. Hear him and believe to cross from death to life. In this verse, there is something that we often ignore. If we flip verse 24 on its head, just kind of see the negative side of it. Jesus is saying, whoever does not hear my word and does not believe him who sent me has eternal death and will be condemned. He remains dead. All humanity without Jesus is dead. In the beginning, it was God who created everything. He breathed life into humanity. But humanity rejected God and therefore rejected life. Humanity was banished from God's presence, spiritually dead, and physical death followed, death was guaranteed. And since then, the question has been, how can we have life again? Is there any way to escape death? And Jesus says there is. It is by hearing his words and believing. It is through him that we can cross from death to life. Jesus did not come to teach good morals. He did not come to announce political transformation. But he came to announce life to the dead. I don't know if you noticed something strange in verse 24. There is a present aspect to the death to life transformation. He says of those who hear and believe that they have crossed from death to life. Jesus is saying that there is complete transformation can be had in the here and now. Without Jesus, we are in the nation of death. We cannot approach God. We are slaves to sin. We are objects of wrath. But by Jesus' words and believing the Father, we can cross over the border from death to life. The border that cannot be crossed any other way. So today we can dwell in a nation of life where we have freedom from sin, relationship with God. We can know him and please him. We can have joy in the Lord at all times. We can have life. But Jesus doesn't stop there with spiritual life today. But through him, there will be physical, eternal life. And this is the final section that we see, verse 25 to 30. Jesus shows us that Jesus is the Son who does what the Father does. He will judge and raise the dead to life. He will judge and raise the dead to life. Jesus makes this clear from verse 28. Do not be amazed at this. He's saying, if you think what you've seen already of me is amazing, you haven't seen the half of it. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear the Son's voice and come out. Those who have done good, those who have heard the Son's words and believe, will rise to live. And those who have done evil, those who have rejected the Son and his words, will rise to be condemned. Jesus is looking towards the day when he will return, where he will judge every individual that has ever lived. All will stand before him, and everyone will go one of two ways, eternal life or eternal condemnation. It is Jesus who will decide. It is Jesus who will judge. And verse 30, his judgment is just. Friends, this is not a kind of a hypothetical matter. It is life or death. Jesus claims it. Do we believe it? Some of us here have never committed to putting our trust in Jesus. If that's you, Jesus says at present, you're spiritually dead. And there will be a day when he will judge. But wonderfully, Jesus also says, whoever hears my words and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Jesus is offering life. Life today, eternal life to come. Take hold of it. Take hold of all that Jesus offers. Hear his words and believe in him. Perhaps you're not convinced yet. Well, you cannot ignore Jesus' claims. Keep looking into Jesus. Think, what would it look like for me to investigate whether Jesus' claims are true? Ask those that know about him. Look at the eyewitness accounts in the Bible. Keep coming Sunday by Sunday as we look through John's gospel, as he shows. He doesn't just say he is the Son. He shows that he is the Son through the rest of this book. Why don't you come along to our real lives at the end of this month, where we'll be hearing more of this Jesus, where we will continue to be able to investigate who he is. It is life or death. Jesus has been caught in the act. Who do you think you are, and what do you think you're doing? Jesus' response: I am the Son, equal with God. I do what the Father does. Life and judgment are in my hands. How will we respond? Let's pray. Father, we confess that some of the truths that Jesus proclaims are weighty and hard for us to hear at times. But Father, please would you help us not to ignore him and who he claims to be and what he claims to come to do. Please would you help us to see Jesus, your Son, who has life and judgment in his hands. Please would we be thinking this week and how we can honor him and therefore honor you. Please would you show us the ways that we are failing to do that at the moment. And please would we come to believe and trust in him day by day. Please would we rejoice at the transformation that Jesus has made today and will make in the future for all those that believe and hear his words. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son, your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.